James chapter 5, two verses here in James chapter 5, that would be verse 7 and verse 8. Amen. James 5, verse 7 and verse 8. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, or the farmer, the landowner, waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. So there is a natural and spiritual aspect here. He's using this analogy of this example of the farmer, the landowner, the caretaker, how he waits for the precious fruit of the earth. But he's also indicating here a spiritual aspect with the Lord God being the landowner, the husbandman, waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. And then he says, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Amen. I want to speak to us for a few moments here on this Wednesday evening from this subject, a heart for the harvest. A heart for the harvest. Let's put our Bibles down. Let's clap our hands and give God praise one more time. God, we love you, Lord. God, we love you, Lord. God, we love you, Jesus. We praise you. We worship you, Lord. We need you. We need you. We need you. We need you. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Chapter 5 is a continuation of a rebuke that James, one of the pastors and leaders of the Jerusalem church, is giving to the Jewish Christians which had been scattered from Jerusalem for things he has heard concerning their deeds and actions toward one another. As the first six verses of James 5 continues that rebuke of chapter 4, James pauses here for a moment to exhort the people concerning the coming of the Lord. That's the subject here, is the coming of the Lord. It's the primary subject. No doubt there were those who were eager for his return. They lived in difficult and desperate times, and their hopes were fixed upon the Lord's appearing. And apparently some were so impatient for the Lord to come that James wrote this, encouraging them to be patient, to wait patiently for his return. It was a time of persecution of the church, which is why many of them were scattered abroad. And in their impatience, looking for the Lord's return, they lost sight of God's purpose for the church. And so while they're focused on his coming, God is still concerned for his harvest. And again, James here pictures God as the husbandman, the landowner, the caretaker, the farmer who has put a great deal of labor into his crop and is waiting not only for the harvest, but for the early rain and the latter rain. And James said he waits for the precious fruit of the earth, meaning that until he, the Lord, returns, his purpose is to gather a harvest of redeemed people from every kindred, every nation, and every tongue. And everybody said amen. Amen. In Matthew 24, Jesus sets the timetable for his return by the preaching of the gospel to the whole world. He says, when they will deliver you up to tribulation, they'll kill you. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. We're seeing that. Many will be offended, betray one another. We're seeing that. We'll hate one another, seeing that. False prophets rising, deceiving many. Lawlessness will abound, love of many waxing cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. The preaching of the gospel is the planting of the seed, the word of God in this earth, right? And then the rain comes, which is the outpouring of God's Spirit. And then the harvest. Now, when we say harvest, there's two meanings of harvest. A harvest of souls that are saved and added to the church. That is going on. It will go on. But then there's the great harvest that is from the earth. We'll talk about that in a moment. But here James says, as the farmer, the landowner, the husbandman is patient, you be patient. As he's waiting for the harvest, you be patient as well. And so here in verse 7 and 8, when he's talking about waiting and being patient, specifically when he refers to us, it means to be expecting, to look for, to plan for. What it does not mean is to sit idly by and do nothing. The Bible tells us that we must work while it is what? Day. Why? For night cometh when no one can work. The Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, right? In other words, he's patient with people because it is not his will that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, as James says, he patiently waits for people to repent. He patiently waits for his redeemed people to reach the lost. Amen. He patiently pours out his Spirit here a little and there a little. But all the while, he desires to give not just a little rain, but a latter rain. The Bible tells us that the Lord will pour out his Spirit in a latter rain. That's his desire and promise. But he's not going to pour out his Spirit on a people who do not want it. Right? He's not going to pour out a latter rain on a people who are not expecting it. And he's not going to pour his Spirit, the rain, out on fields that have not been worked and have no seed. What would be the point? Amen. The harvest, this from 2,000 years ago to now, that harvest began on the day of Pentecost, right? The outpouring of God's Spirit upon his people, the Jewish people. And then it continued with the Gentiles in the second half of the first century and continues still today. But according to God's word and his promises, there is an opportunity for a final harvest, a final great harvest in the last days, right? A great harvest of souls in the last days. That is our opportunity. It's a promise. And it's an opportunity, right? A great last days revival. It's what he wants as the great landowner and is patiently planning and waiting for. And James tells us that we too should wait, expect, plan, and prepare for a harvest. Like those saints of the early church who had been scattered by persecution, James is warning us to turn our focus from the chaos and turmoil of our world and establish our hearts and our focus on the harvest and the coming of the Lord, right? I've said it so many times in the last 18 months or more. Let's not get distracted. Let's not get bogged down. Let's not get sidetracked by the chaos of our world. Let's not get so involved and submerged, right? Let's not sit there for hours a day or even minutes a day just immersed in all the negative news. Yeah, it's good to understand what's going on. It's good to know what is happening, amen. But rise above it and say, my focus is on the coming of the Lord and my focus is on a harvest, right? Because if I believe this Bible to be true, and I do, it means that God wants to give a harvest on this world, and that includes Orange Park, it includes our neighborhood, it includes our community, it includes our church, it includes me and you, right? And so rather than allow myself to get all depressed and down by everything that's happening in our world, I'm going to look up, for my redemption draws nigh, and I'm going to focus on His return, and I'm going to focus on His harvest. And so James said, establish your hearts and focus on the harvest and the coming of the Lord. For he says, the coming of the Lord is at hand. It's drawing near. Amen. The heart of the Lord is for a harvest. John 4, we find the event where Jesus said to his disciples, I need to go to Samaria. And so they go to Samaria. They go to the town of Sychar. The disciples go into town to buy food. Jesus goes to a well by himself. We know the story. There he meets this one woman, and he reaches for that one soul. Right? And he led her from empty pots of immorality to a well of living water. Right? And when the disciples return with food, Jesus refuses to eat. And so in their carnal thinking, they say, well, maybe somebody's already brought him food. Because Jesus had said, I have meat that you know not of. And so they're thinking somebody else must have brought him something to eat. Oh, well, somebody beat us to it. Somebody already brought you food. But Jesus assured them that he's not talking about natural food. He says, no, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work, right? And then he said, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are white, ready for harvest. Amen. Already white and ready for harvest. Amen. The Lord is challenging us to become like Him and have a heart for the harvest. In Matthew 9, Jesus said, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. You can sense the passion and His heart for the harvest. Luke 15 is the lost and found chapter of the Bible. First, you have a lost sheep. The shepherd goes out to find it. You have a lost coin. The woman sweeps the whole house until she finds it. Then you have the prodigal son. The father waits patiently in prayer until he comes home. There are three parables and one message. The lost matter to God. In verse 7, Jesus said, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. That's His heart. In verse 10, He said, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. It's His heart. Amen. He wants people to turn to Him. He wants people to repent. He desires souls to come in to His church, His bride, His body. If heaven has a heart for the harvest, how much more should we, who, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? Amen. The Bible tells us that to whom much is given, much is required. I would say much has been given to us. Amen. If you've been born again of water and spirit, if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, if you've been forgiven, and no doubt multiple times, and if you've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and you know Him and you know His Word, you've been given much, and to us much is required. Amen. Of us much is required. And so we must, like Jesus, see the fields white and ready for harvest. And like Him, our spirit must be stirred with compassion for the lost. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Paul wept over the unsaved Jews. Before Scotland was turned upside down with revival, John Knox wept and prayed and said, "Give me Scotland or I die." We too should weep in prayer over the lost of our city and our community. And we must plant the seed of the Word of God. And then we must pray for rain. James said, "The farmer waits patiently for the rain after he has sown the seed." He sows the seed and then he waits and he watches and he prays, "God, send the rain. Send that early rain. And then when in the right time, send that latter rain." Amen. We must wait and we must pray patiently for the rain of God's Spirit. The latter rain is necessary for the harvest. The Lord of the harvest knows that. God knows that. And He will send it if the seed for a harvest has been sown. Amen? He wants to pour out His Spirit. He wants to send a latter rain. Right? If seed has been sown, He will send rain. If people have prayed, if people have a heart for the harvest of their city, of their community. Because not everybody can go to the continent of Africa. Not everybody can go to Asia. Not everybody can go to all these other nations, South America, whatever. All the nations of South America. Not everybody can go to all these 200 plus countries on our planet. Right? We send missionaries, we support missionaries, but you and I are responsible for our community. We are responsible for having a burden for our city and for our county. Amen. And so if you and I plant a seed, if you and I pray, amen, the Lord of the harvest will help us and He will send the latter rain. Through the prophet Joel, the Lord said, "Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He hath given you the former rain moderately, and He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain." Amen? If we desire it, if we really want it, if we really want to see a harvest, He has promised, "I will send the rain. I will send the former rain and the latter rain. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and the handmaids in those days, I will pour out my Spirit." For there to be a great harvest, there must be great rain. So our heart for the harvest must include a faith for the rain. Amen. Amen. There will be no last day harvest without a latter day rain. A latter rain. There will be no last day harvest without a latter rain. So we must pray for the rain. Everybody say, pray for the rain. We must pray for the latter rain in these last days, because we are expecting and patiently waiting for a harvest. Amen. We're not sitting idly by, right? We work, we pray, amen, and we expect. Through the prophet Zechariah, the Lord God said, "Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds," that's lightning flashing in the clouds, "He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone." A genuine heart for the harvest will sow the seed and pray for rain. If you really want a harvest, if we really want a harvest, we will sow the seed and pray for rain. Amen. Amen. 1 Kings 18, after 3.5 years of no rain, and after having just defeated 450 false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, the prophet Elijah said to King Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." It had not rained in 3.5 years. There's no cloud in the sky. There's no sign of rain. But Elijah, by the prophecy, by the promise of God, rather, tells Ahab that there is a sound of abundance of rain. The Bible says, so Ahab went to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Now it's time to see the prophecy fulfilled. It's time to see the promise come to pass. And so he bowed down on the ground, put his face between his knees. After some time of prayer, he says to his servant, "Go look toward the sea." The servant goes and looks toward the sea, and he comes back and says, "There's nothing there." He says, he prays and says, "Go again." He comes back, nothing there. He prays, said, "Go again." Comes back, nothing there. Finally, the Bible says, and 7 times he said, "Go again." While Elijah keeps praying, because he knows they need rain, he's already received the promise, the word from God, that there would be rain. And so now he's praying and patiently waiting for the rain. And so finally, the Bible says, then it came to pass the 7th time that the servant comes back and says, "There is a cloud. It's as small as a man's hand, but it's rising out of the sea." Amen. Elijah takes that and says, "Now I know that rain is coming. It may be small, but it's a sign." Amen. Whenever we see a few coming in here and there, we see a few getting baptized now and then. Amen. It may be small, but there's a sound of abundance of rain. Our responsibility is to keep praying for it and to keep working for it and to wait patiently. Amen. While we are working and waiting and praying. No matter how many times you've prayed, pray again. Amen. No matter how many times you've prayed for the lost people that you know, that you work with, that you live near, whatever it might be, keep praying. No matter how many times you've prayed for our community, keep praying. We must pray for the rain in our church. We must pray for the rain in our community. We must pray for the rain in our city. The Lord doesn't have to decide if He wants to send the rain. We have to decide if we want the rain. Amen. The Lord is not thinking, "Should I pour out my spirit there?" He's thinking, "Come on, church, let me pour out my spirit there." He wants to pour out a latter rain. He's waiting for people to say, "Lord, send the rain." He's waiting for His people, the church, to say, "Lord, send the rain on us. Send the rain on our community. Send the rain on our city." Amen. Every time I open the reports from our missionaries all around the world, I see so many receiving the Holy Ghost here, so many being baptized here. All of these things are happening. I don't just get mad. I don't fold it up and say, "What is God, what is wrong here? What are you?" No. I'm encouraged. Amen? I'm encouraged because the rain is being poured out and I know it's coming here. I say, "God, if you can do it there, you can do it here. If you can do it for them, you can do it for us." Amen. If you've done it before, you can do it again. Let us pray for rain. Let us believe for it. Let us work for it. Let us expect a harvest. I believe the Lord is preparing to fulfill His promise of a latter rain and great harvest so that He can then fulfill the promise of His return. Amen. And so, we wait and we work and we patiently pray. We plant a seed. We sow. And we pray for rain. We pray for the latter rain. But while we're praying and while we're working and while we're believing for a harvest and while we're expecting the harvest and praying for the rain, we also must expect and watch for His return. Be patient, James said. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is drawing near. That's why we need a heart for the harvest, because His return is drawing near. Amen. The harvest is coming. When Matthew, Mark, and Luke each describe the Olivet Discourse and the words of Jesus concerning His return, each of them says it in their own way and describe it with their own details. But one of the things that Jesus said that each mentioned is His appearing in the clouds. Matthew says, "Then the sign of the Son of Man," this is Jesus in Matthew's gospel, "then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He will send His angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Mark recorded it this way. Jesus said, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then He will send His angels and gather together His elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven." And then Luke recorded it this way. "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." Then in John's vision of heaven in the last days in Revelation chapter 14, he writes, "Then I looked and behold a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, 'Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.' So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped." Amen. There is a harvest coming. The harvest of souls is here and now. We better get a hold of it. We better pray for it, work for it, reach for it. Ask God to help us. Ask God to give us souls. Amen. God, give us our neighbors. Give us people all around our community. Give us people from our city. Give us people from our county. Give us people from this whole area. God, give us a harvest, because this harvest is coming. When he takes that sharp sickle and he reaps and he takes his church out of here, that is coming. And so the harvest of the church, the harvest of souls, is so important. We must have a heart for the harvest. That great harvest from every kindred, every nation, and every tongue. And the Lord will gather His redeemed who are called by His name, washed in His blood, filled with His Spirit, in the world but not of the world, whose robes are white in righteousness. Amen. He will harvest that people out of here. Amen. There will be a great harvest of souls. But will it be here? Will it be in our community? Will it be in our city? Will it be in our county? Will it be in our church? If so, it is up to us. Amen. We must have a heart for the harvest, because the harvest of heaven is coming. Oh, hallelujah. I'm closing, but there was an old song that we used to sing growing up in the church. It says, "There is peace and contentment in the Father's house today. Lots of food on his table, and no one is turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by, but a hush calms the singing as the Father sadly cries, and the chorus says, "My house is full, but my fields are empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my fields. No one wants to work in my fields." The second verse says, "Push away from the table. Look out through the window pane. Just beyond this house of plenty lies a field of golden grain. And it's ripe unto harvest, but the reapers, where are they? In the house, oh, can't the children hear the Father sadly say, 'My house is full, but my fields are empty. Who will go and work for me today?' It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my fields." Amen. Let's stand. I'm thankful for the house and all that there is for us. It is a house of plenty, but who will work? Who will work? Amen. I want to work. I want to have a heart for the harvest in these last days. Oh, praise God. The writer of Psalms says in 126:6, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Amen. He that goes forth and weeps, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. If you'll plant the seed, you'll see the harvest. If we will plant the seed, we'll see the harvest. Amen. If we'll plant the seed, if we'll pray for the rain, we will see the harvest. Oh, hallelujah. Let's have a heart for the harvest. Let's have a heart like he does for souls. Amen. Oh, clap your hands and give him praise in this sanctuary. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. We know the Lord is coming soon. We see the signs everywhere. And so if he is coming back soon, then we know by the word of God that it is his will for there to be a harvest of souls. Amen. It's his will, it's his desire to pour out the latter rain. And that is not just for the benefit of the saved. It's for the benefit of the lost. Amen. It's for the harvest. Let's get a heart for the harvest. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Amen. Let's agree together in Jesus' name for the harvest. Amen. Let's invite people to the house of God. Let's teach Bible studies. Let's witness. Let's show people the word of God. Let's let God open doors for us. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ.